go! Welcome to the Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast with your host, Steve Schaubecker. Get ready to get behind the scenes look into what it really takes to grow a business from scratch in the firearms industry. Join us as we welcome industry titans, Second Amendment enthusiasts, and special guests each week. I welcome you to the Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast.
Welcome back to the Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm Steve Schaubecker, your host, and I'm excited to be back with you for another great episode. This episode, we're going to go a little different direction, and we're going to talk about why innovation matters. We're going to dive deep into the topic, and we're going to have some specific examples about things I've done with my businesses recently, some that have worked well, some that haven't, and why trying different things makes such a difference. So let's start out with what I've had going on recently. As you probably know, I have not had an episode on in a bit here. And that's purely by just being crazy busy with the new opening of our new store. So it's been a long time coming. We were supposed to originally be opening back in July, but we ended up opening in November due to lots of construction permitting delays and all sorts of crazy things. But the good news is that our second store is open and functioning and doing even better than we could have ever imagined. Things were going absolutely great. So, as you know, our first store from Sheepdog is in Mooney, Illinois. Our second store we ended up opening just across the border, about just under a half hour east of our first store into Indiana, in an unincorporated area of Dyer, Indiana. So if you're not familiar with Illinois and Indiana, they're very different in states, very different as far as how things work, especially in the firearm industry. Illinois is a bit more restrictive. Some people say it's borderline communist on things that they will not allow and hoops you have to jump through. We have the FOID card in Illinois, which basically is just like an ID you have to apply for if you want to own a firearm, purchase ammunition or anything else related to that. It is a small fee, of course. It's kind of a long process to get the card, and right now they're pretty backed up, and some people have taken even up to a year to get one, which is ridiculous. Indiana, of course, is a free state. They almost came close to passing constitutional carry. They did not, so you still have to have a permit to concealed carry in Indiana. But other than that, there's no wait period, whereas Illinois has a 3-day wait. Indiana is, as long as the background check clears, you can walk out with a pistol or with a rifle or shotgun and walk right out the door. So as you can imagine, running a store there, the process is a little bit different, and things definitely go a lot quicker and are a lot smoother in Indiana as opposed to Illinois. Well, we ended up expanding into the Indiana market because we had a lot of customers that were coming from there over to our store, original store in Mooney. And when we decided to expand over there, we really thought about, you know, what works at the Mooney store, what could be better, and is there a 2.0 version of this? Can we further innovate what we're doing in our original store and change it up a little bit? So we did a lot of research and we put a lot of thought into it and did a lot of research on retail in general, and really tried to compare some of the models of the most successful retail stores and the ones that were could say the cutting edge of design and those sorts of things, and how we could bring that to the firearms industry. As you all know, the firearms industry is an industry where, you know, usually it's status quo. It's how things have always been done. If you walk in 90% of gun shops, they will be set up similar or the same. You know, you'll have many feet of glass cases, you know, and sometimes you'll have a couple grumpy guys behind the counter. But, I mean, everything will be merchandised pretty much the same, and the setup will be particularly the same. And typically, if you ever want to touch anything, you have to ask to have it pulled out of a case or back from behind the counter. Of course, obviously, in our stores, that's one thing we don't like. We don't like the separation between our employees and the customers. We like them to be able to have natural conversations and really come alongside people. Doesn't matter where they're at in their firearms experience, if they're brand new shooters and walked into a gun shop for the first time, or if they've been at this sport or hobby for a long time and coming in for something more advanced. We want to make everybody feel comfortable and come alongside everybody exactly where they are. So from a design aspect, we knew that we weren't going to have a bunch of glass cases. We knew that. But we also wanted to see what could we do to make a couple goals come happen. One, we wanted the store to have great visual impact when you walked in. We wanted you to just say, wow, this is a pretty cool place. We also wanted it to be functional. And flow was very important. So some of the things we learned from our Moni store were that there's a couple spots in the store that there's bottlenecks. So when there gets to be a lot of foot traffic in there, there's just spots where people get jammed up and they can't get around. And there's also spots where when people are waiting to check out or waiting in line, it's not the most conducive to larger amounts of people when they're busier. So we knew that, you know, Dyer was going to be bigger. So square footage wise, Dyer is about twice the size of the Moni store is, but it feels like it's three or four times the size because of how it's designed. So after much research, we decided that we were going to try and see how it would lay out with a think Apple store design. There's no counter in the whole place. There's no glass cases. Everything is on display and it's kind of spread out. So basically what it is there's actually like four, we'll call them pods, if you will. So each pod is about 4 feet wide and about 10 feet long. And these pods are split up in the store. And on the back side of each pod is a register. So the registers will be where, of course, people will check out. But then also where, if you're purchasing a firearm, that terminal will let the person the staff member take care of our end of the paperwork, running the background and all those sorts of things, but then also allow the employee and the customer to jump on there and to fill out their end of the 4473 and whatnot, and handle the checkout process and paperwork process all right there in one spot. So there's four of these stations, and so we can have four or five employees working if we needed to. But here's the beautiful thing is we don't need that many. It seems like we're having great luck with two, and if it's really busy, we have a third. And what they're able to do is one person will use multiple stations, so they'll work with the customer, get them to the point where they're doing their end of the paperwork, and then just jump a couple steps over to work on some paperwork or check out someone else. It's worked really well so far, actually way better than we thought. And the flow of the store. So around the edges of the store is all a slat wall where we have a lot of different things on display, like you have one section of AR build parts, complete uppers, complete lowers. We have every small part you can imagine for AR-15s, a whole bunch of different kinds of AR-10, AR-15 magazines. And then also on that side of the wall, we have a small area of used guns is also on the one wall. On the back wall, which you can see when you walk in, it goes up to about 12 feet, and it's all long guns. So it's a big wall, about 40 feet wide by about 12, wall is 14 feet, but the slot wall goes up to 12. 12 feet tall of all long guns. So we have about 120 long guns on display. And then on the other wall, we have everything from pistol magazines to holsters to concealed carry belts to we carry Ridge wallets, some MyMedic brand of first aid kits along with bleed kits, some great training aids from Mantis. And then, of course, your bags, cases, boxes, those sorts of things. So on the pods, so within the four pods, there's two of the pods that three sides are handguns. And we had a tethering system come out, so we have them actually tethered. So they hang on hooks, but then they're also tethered so people can pick them up, touch them, dry fire them. But then they're strapped on so they can't go anywhere as far as the pistols go. And then that takes up two of the pods. On the other two pods are miscellaneous stuff on one side of the pod, like one of them has safes and other things. And then the other side of it is box ammunition by the box. One side is pistol. On the other side, there's another set of cubbies which has all the rifle ammunition and has on the back has some more accessories. So probably saying, well, why does this matter? Why is this important? Well, it's a very unique design in that there's no counter, there's no glass cases. That alone is unique. But then when you took and put the registers throughout the store like we did, it just created a whole different experience. So when the person walks in the store, They're going to be greeted by one of the employees. That'll be somewhere around the door area where there's a couple of the registers. And it's just, then they're welcomed in, and then their eyes are drawn to the back wall with all the long guns. They can see in the back of the store all the pistols, as well as all the other accessories. It's a very welcoming environment, and it really is conducive to a flow of people walking around and seeing everything. There's no bottlenecks. There's big aisles everywhere. It's just a neat flow. So the innovation that was involved in that, and it was really a lot of taping things out on the floor, coming up with ideas. We did some modeling in 3D to try to see what this would be, how it would flow. And, you know, of course, we didn't really know until we tried it, until we got open. But boy, once we got open, we understood we had a winning design. I believe all the other stores, there's minor tweaks we may make, but it'll be 95% the same as the Dyer store is. You know, for some of the benefits include, I mean, the better flow and then the less staff. To do the same amount of business in our Moniz store, we would need about 50% to 60% more staff hours, per dollar. So it's crazy how much difference it makes in having the flow set up right. It's definitely more welcoming to customers too. Once you step inside, it draws you in. It pulls you into want to look at everything, so that there's you have the best chance of having a customer want to purchase. They're going to see all the things that they want to see. They're going to see things that they didn't know they wanted to see. So it's really going to open the doors for them that way. You know, really, we would call that version our 2.0 version that we will definitely be running with. And, you know, you say, okay, well, why? Again, why does this matter? Well, it's all about customer experience. It's all about creating a place where the customer feels comfortable, whoever they are, whether they're someone that's hardly has been in a gun shop, maybe never been in a gun shop, to someone that's always in gun shops. There's something there for everybody, and the design is conducive to everybody. I've rarely heard, if ever, heard a customer say, you know what, I love all the glass cases, and I love having to get an employee to grab everything out so I can just touch it and look at it. I love being able to only look at a couple things before they give me the eye roll and say, hey, you know, are you ready to buy one or not? You know, I love to be able to look at my pace. Love to be able to have people, conversations with people that's not over the top of a counter. It just creates it's just a feel. One could say, well, the counter doesn't mean anything. Well, it really seems like it does. Having had stores set up both ways, it really seems like it makes a huge difference in the types of conversations and how we're able to engage with the customers and how they feel. It just has a total different feel to it. So you're probably saying to yourself, okay, well, this is all cool. But if I'm a business owner, well, how does that matter? Whether it's a firearm industry or any other industry, you know, why does this matter? Well, it matters because of the numbers, and the numbers don't lie. For a Dyer store, to give you an example, we are about 30 days in on the store. The store's been open about 30 days. And as of right now, the build-out costs for everything, the physical sides, the structure, the cabinetry, all the computers, electronics, camera system, alarm system, everything that went into all the capital expenditures that we put out for into that store, it's about 60% paid for right now. Yeah, 30 days, and we've paid for about 60% of the outlay. It will for sure be paid for by the end of January. It'll actually likely be by the first of the year or shortly thereafter. So here we are with a new location that just opened up, and say two months in, where it will be in the black. Of course, we still have inventory. We're not counting inventory. That's a whole different floor planning system. That's different. But for all the capital expenditures, everything will be paid for, which to me is pretty amazing. You know, we were really hoping, hey, you know what, if we hit that spot after 6 months or a year, we're doing pretty well. Well, with this short period of time, that just tells us that these stores are definitely be able to be open more quickly than we thought. We can get more in a year. We're already planning our third and fourth locations, and we're just going to roll with this thing and see how well it's received. You know, possibly hit some different states. I'm definitely going to expand in the Chicago market and in the Northwest Indiana markets. So here's the thing. Well, how can you apply this? Well, of course, if it's a firearm industry, you know, we're, of course, laying out a game plan, and we will soon actually have a consulting program available where it's basically going to be gun shop in a box. If you want to open a gun store, there's two ways you can do it. You can do it basically as a, we will license the brand and everything that go with it, or we can just simply, we will have a consulting come alongside you program where, hey, you have your own brand, maybe you already have a shop. Well, we're going to come alongside you and teach you everything we knew. A side note, this point on the Dyer store, other than putting a sign on the outside of the building, we have spent $0 on marketing. All of the traffic we've got has been either people seeing the store, but mostly because we already have established a social media following before we open the store. So that's huge there. So even though it's a gun industry, you can still be active on social media. Just have to be careful how you do it. Don't have to pay for advertising. It's all organic. It's all discussions. It's all word of mouth. But word travels fast. So that's also, of course, part of our consulting program. We'll have the what we do as far as marketing, actually several different options based on how much you want to invest and how fast you want to grow. But to get back to the concept and really the topic today, why innovation matters. Well, it matters because if we keep continuing doing things the same way, we're really just a commodity. You know, if our products are the same products we're selling as every other store, regardless to what industry, it's not going to matter. All people are going to start shopping for is price. And as you know, yes, we certainly always try to be competitive on price, but we're not out to take a race to the bottom and just a race to, you know, we want to provide value. We want to have great staff. We want to retain those great staff. So obviously today it's hard to find people that actually want to work. So we're going to pay them right. We're going to take care of them and make sure their families and create some good jobs wherever we decide to go with these stores also. But regardless of your industry, you know, whatever you're doing, make sure you're innovating. Do things a little bit of different. And don't just do it like different just to be different. Do it different with a purpose. Figure out what the customers want. If you start with that question, you know, what do my customers want? How can I make them have a better experience? Instead of just doing what's easy for you or doing what is always been done, you know, or doing it the way you think, you know, think out of the box. Ask yourself, what if I did this? What if I did that? Could I do this? Could I try this? Are there different and unique things? You know, how can I be different than every other store? You know, there's in any of these industries, that's not a huge barrier to entry, whether you're opening a restaurant or a gun shop or a clothing store, whatever it is, you can open, you know, whatever you want. Obviously, there's money involved as an investment, but it's not this huge barrier to entry. You know, there's always a process. And of course, with a gun shop, you know, there's licensures and all those sorts of things that you have to do, but it's not a situation where it's completely impossible. So you have to realize that if you're not differentiating yourself, your competition could open up right down the street and they could decide, hey, you know what, we're going to sell things cheaper, and they could take a big chunk of your business away. So really stay centered on your client, on your customer, making sure you're speaking to them as far as what they want. You're doing things like they would want. You're making them have a better experience. You're making it easier for them to buy. You're making the whole process easier for them. You're making them feel more welcome. You're making them want to tell your friends about your establishment. We have many people say all over our social media and to us personally, they say, hey, you know what? We appreciate the way you treated us. We appreciate how you shared knowledge with us. You know, we appreciated the whole experience. We're not going to shop anywhere else. You know, we love being part of the Sheepdog family. Well, that can be possible for you too, whatever your business is. You know, as we know, it's business is not about selling boxes and selling products. It's really about creating an experience. And even more than that, it's about creating a tribe. It's about finding the customers that you resonate with, that resonate with you, and bringing them into something that's bigger than themselves. Just allowing them to have a belonging, allowing them to do life differently because they choose to, and to align themselves with brands and companies that share their core values. That operate the way they would operate, that treat them the way they treat people, and really just to connect with people on that level. That's where things get different. That's where things get fun. That's where it gets really, really interesting. You know, at the end of the day, you know, we're all in business and doing whatever it is we do to make money and, you know, feed our families and, you know, and make a living. But when it becomes bigger than yourself and bigger than simply dollars, boy, that's when legacy starts happening. That's when things get really deep. That's when you can really make a difference. You know, you have to ask yourself is, hey, if I decide to innovate in my industry, what difference could I make for my customers? But also what difference could I make for people that may never even shop for me? What differences can I make in my industry that other people might adopt, that other people might embrace, and that will possibly even outlive me? How cool would that be? You know, that's the things, kind of things that I think about now is, hey, you know what? How cool would it be if that we can create a model in the firearms industry where other people start to copy and you start to see people really, truly more worried about customers, more worried about coming alongside of, more worried about making them feel welcome. That would be cool. You know, I mean, if the customer wins, if people win, you know, if our country wins, if, you know, it gets people looking back at the Constitution and back at the Second Amendment and back at the things that really make this country great. You know, we live in the best country in the world with the most opportunities in the world. And we just want to share those opportunities with our customers and give them the opportunity to be part of something bigger than themselves too. Really to create a community, if you will, a community of like-minded people. You have to realize too that you can't be everything for everybody. You cannot simply serve everybody. Seth Godin talks about it in his book Tribes, and basically says the equivalent of, so if you try to lead everybody, or if you try to make everybody your customer, you'll lead no one, or you'll have no one be your customer. So you can't make everybody happy. You have to really define yourself with your core values and define who you are, what you're doing, and why you're doing it. And live that out. Walk that out every day. Don't waver from it. Don't be ashamed of it. Don't change it to try to make somebody happy or try to make somebody a customer. Everybody will not like you, and that's okay. Everybody certainly doesn't like me. I always tell people I'm an acquired taste. Either you love me or you hate me. There's very little in between. And that's okay. That's how we are in life. We're all made a little differently. We all have some different beliefs. We all have some different likes. We all have different personalities, but that's okay. So in summary, innovation matters. Ask yourself, what can we do differently? What can we do better? Even if it's never been done before, that's okay. That's where the magic happens. When you start going out into uncharted waters, you know, you may have some ideas and you may think they're great and you may try to implement it and you may fail miserably. And that's okay because you don't know if it's going to work or if it's not going to work often until you try it. And you know what? If you fail, if you have a bad idea, don't give up on innovation. Keep trying because you will hit the magic mojo that just makes things different, that just takes everything you do to the next level. Love to connect with you. If you think that anyone else could benefit from hearing this podcast, please share them with it. We'd love for this to get out, whether they're in the firearms industry or any other industry for that matter. Business is business, and the things we're teaching here are things that can benefit everyone. If we could be of help, please hit us up on our DMs. You know, hit us up via email. You could certainly hit us up at the Sheepdogs Facebook, website, email. You can certainly hit me up via email or DMs also. SteveShaubacher.com. SShaubacher@SheepdogFirearms.com is my email. Don't hesitate. I'm always here if there's anything I can do for you. Please let me know. Until next week, keep innovating, keep thinking, don't stop. Thanks for joining me. I'm Steve Schaubacher. This has been the Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to the Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast. If you're still listening to this episode, that means you gained some type of value. So if you could share this to a friend, leave a review, and make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode of Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast.